السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. بسم الله الذي لا إله سواه، والحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه ومن والاه. We continue in the realm of ta'a and ma'asiyah, and in particular the consequences and the impacts of ma'asiyah or of zunub or of sins in our lives, my dear brothers and sisters. Now that we had established that, again, the zunub are the consequence of the nafs standing between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our qulub and our hearts, and that ma'asi also feed back into the nafs and make it stronger, and because the nafs becomes stronger, the qalb becomes weaker, and as such, again, there is darkness in our qulub, the opposite of light. And when there is darkness in our qulub, wal-iyad billah, there is lack of knowledge, there is false knowledge. And as another consequence of that, that darkness or that illumination due to obedience or that darkness due to disobedience sometimes rises and shows on the very external appearance of the individual, and that some ibad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see that, and that also of the consequences of the dhunub is that it extinguish the nur of ilm inside of our qulub. And as another consequence of that, hear this: anxiety, depressions, distress, agony are one of the most painful, perhaps, consequences of committing dhunub. Oftentimes, because I suppose most of the world, if not all of the world, has espoused a secular psychology pertaining to the nature of self, and when there are psychological ailments identified as such, the cure is never sought in this relationship. That is the relationship between ma'asiyah and such ailments. The relationship between disobedience, between sins and such ailments. We know in our deen, al-hamm wal-gham, the states of distress and the states of agony sometimes and of anxieties, ila rivalik, are due to the dhunub oftentimes. I would almost say, as I look into myself also introspectively, find me abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in distress internally, and I will point to you abd who is in ma'asiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some type of ma'asiyah. Show me abd in distress internally and in agony, in anxiety, or worse, in depression, and I'll show you abd with lack of tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes that lack of tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so defective, or that ma'asiyah is so powerful, that the internal consequence of anxiety is very intense. And show me abd without any other medication or any other means of temporary cure, who has rid himself of that anxiety and has not returned. And I show you abd in tawbah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I show you abd therefore who must have worked somehow on his or her tawheed and his or her state of sinfulness. Because the dhunub, my dear brothers and sisters, as we say, they strangle, imagine that approximation, they strangle the qalb through the nafs. The nafs is stronger, and then the nafs strangles the qalb. And you can't breathe in the physical world, the qalb cannot breathe in the spiritual world, and that's how you feel, that's how we feel anxiety and depression. And agonies and distress and terrible grief. You feel it in the qalb such that it you feel blockage, not a physical blockage in the qalb. You feel a psychological blockage in the qalb. You feel a narrowness. You can't breathe. And that is because of the strangulating effect of the nafs on the qalb. And the qalb is not free, the qalb is detached from its source of peace. And who is the source of peace? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the more distant I am from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more distant I am from the source of peace, and if I am distant from the source of peace, logically, I am not in peace. And that's what anxiety is, what depression is, what distress is, what agony is. And therefore, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم taught that sometimes when you feel like that, إِلْجَأُوا إِلَى الْإِسْتِغْفَارِ. Find refuge in istighfar. Seek Allah's forgiveness. SubhanAllah, the cure. Go seek Allah's forgiveness. When you feel anxious, when you feel agitated, when you feel distressed, go seek Allah's forgiveness through a true exercise of istighfar and of tawbah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because istighfar is used and tawbah are called for when there is a dhanb. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam helps us connect the state of distress with the state of dhunub. A story that, one of the many stories that was related by many scholars, in this case I think it was Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullah ta'ala, about Ibn Sirin. Ibn Sirin was one of the great tabi'i scholars and devout man in obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A family indeed of great scholars. He and his sister, you know his sister, remember his sister's name? The sisters and brothers who used to come to the other retreats. What was her name? Hafsa, yes. Hafsa bint Sirin. That other great woman scholar, she was his sister. Anyways, Ibn Sirin, rahimahullah ta'ala, said that one day he had a debt. Debt that he was unable to pay, but he felt tremendous gham or hem inside of his heart. Felt tremendous sense of distress and feeling even of anxiety. It shouldn't be. It's a deen. Alhamdulillah, Allah is a razzaq. But he said, he felt that. So he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, in accordance to this report, wallahu ta'ala alam, he said, فَعَلِمْتُ ذَلِكَ مِنْ ذَنْبٍ اِقْتَرَفْتُهُ قَبْلَ 40 سَنَة. Ajeeb. He says, I knew then that this was the consequence of a sin I committed 40 years ago. You wonder, why 40 years later? SubhanAllah. Well, there are many reasons. The first thing that we have to learn, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُمْهِلُ وَلَا يُهْمِلُ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُمْهِلُ وَلَا يُهْمِلُ. Verily Allah delays but never disregards. Remember that. Allah delays but never disregards. Number two, as the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala become more and more spiritually sensitive and conscious and more obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their spiritual consciousness become more acute and more refined and more fine-tuned, such that we begin to remember sins we had completely forgotten because of the thickness of our nafs. When you become more and more spiritually sensitive, you begin to remember more and more of the wrong things we committed, because now you see them when before you didn't. Now your qalb is clearer a bit. You can see what you couldn't see before. Three, it is a rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes, because then He makes us remember through that affliction of atonement through hardship, so that we seek His forgiveness. So that we finally are liberated one more of those chains that were holding us imprisoned. One more of those chains are broken and we are freed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to repent to Him, so He makes us remember, so that we repent from something perhaps we had not repented from before. Sins always have consequences. Always. Humiliation internally is another consequence of dhunub that we often do not pay attention to. Humiliation, dhul. Dhul is a consequence of dhunub. No matter how externally pompous the person may look or may be looked at by others, no matter how lofty the person may look outside, no matter how serene sometimes the person may look outside, a sinner, a disobedient abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is always humiliated inside. There is that feeling of humiliation. There is that feeling of dhul. And it is subhanallah, and it is ignited when something happens. There's an event, something happens that triggers that feeling of humiliation inside of the qalb, which for a believing person, an obedient person, under the same circumstances and consequences, that is never there. It's inside, no matter how much outside it is hidden and concealed. Ma'asiyah generates dhul inside, lowliness, debasement inside, humiliation inside, lack of proper pride inside. Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah ta'ala, before that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of course says in the Quran, man kana yuridu al-izzata falillahi al-izzatu jami'a. من كان يريد العزة فلله العزة جميعا. And Allah also says, ولله العزة ولرسوله وللمؤمنين ولكن المنافقين لا يعلمون. says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he who or she who seeks exaltation and dignity, dignity is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All dignity belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, if I seek dignity internally, not externally. Because what counts again is what I am inside. And if inside I am low, regardless of how people can revere me, and we have many examples, and I don't want to mention examples, it's right in my head right now, so that I would not be perhaps for some politically incorrect. And when certain things happened, it was triggered, and Allah showed how low that individual really has been. No matter how pompous and powerful externally one may look and greeted and so on. So he who or she who seeks the izzah, dignity, should seek it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how do we do that? Through obeying Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obedience leads to izz, and ma'asiyah leads to dhul. If I truly want to be dignified inside, then let me obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I want to be humiliated, let me then disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And wallahi alladhi la ilaha illahu, it reaches a point also such that human beings and other creatures will dignify the obedient person and will humiliate and debase the disobedient person and the sinning person. Wallahi alladhi la ilaha illahu. This means to me and to you that sometimes when we are at work or in the street or at home, if someone mistreats us and treats us with ridicule or with debasement, the mu'min, the true mu'min, insha'Allah ta'ala, where does he look for the answer? Or where does she look for the answer? Immediately he would reflect upon himself or herself, regardless of whether that person did it legitimately or illegitimately. What unleashed that person to debase me in this manner? Allah, to Allah belongs humility, to Allah belongs humiliation, and to Allah belongs exaltation. What have I done? He or she would ask a question against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that I deserve this to happen to me. Even though maybe the person was wrong in his own way. But what unleashed that person to debase me and to humiliate me, for instance? وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي. I shall never absolve my own nafs, my own self, from erring and straying away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bringing me back to realize I have done something wrong. And you can choose to take the wrongdoer to court. You can choose to forgive. But one goes beyond that. Why did that happen? Why did that happen? Could it be because I have disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in some way? Wallahi al-azim, this is true. Wallahi al-azim, this is true. Some person hurts me in any way, and hurting another person is a form of humiliation. By words or by beating or by taking some of my property or... Why? Why? Outside, of course, of the reasons of external law. And I'm not denying those. What is the hidden dimension behind this person having been energized or been audacious enough to do what he or she did to me? Where did I commit something wrong? And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me and to help me. And ultimately, subhanAllah, that person who usurped my right or violated my right I would feel compassion for him or her. And I would say, Alhamdulillah, through you I was reminded that I was wrong with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that I can correct myself. And then I pray for him. At least in retrospect, if one does not have the, mashallah, the spiritual eloquence to respond spontaneously with grace. But that's, mashallah. At least in retrospect, when I remember, I would say, subhanallah, actually, that was a rahmah from me. Allah made him a cause of good for me. May Allah forgive him. May Allah pardon him. May Allah exalt him. May Allah reward him or her. Al-Hasan al-Basri, in his time, and I think, you know, people used to, as we still do, to be impressed and be attracted to figures that are famous, if you know what I mean. And it still continues in many forms nowadays. Famous people are the attraction of the eyes and hearts and minds of many, many, many people. And of course, they had their own, their own entourage and their own types of horses and types of means of transportation, that each one is indicative of the level and the status, the social and political and so on status of the individual man or woman. So he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, imagine a judge or a ruler or a person who is powerful must have a very special type of horse, very special type of mule. You know, in those days, the judge, the qadi, would not ride a horse, but a special type of mule. You know, not just, yani, baghlatul qadi. It's not just anything. You know, the mule of the judge. When you're a general or a kaza or ruler, you ride also a horse, and the mule of the qadi is treated like a queen. So he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, al-Hasan al-Basri, wallahi wa in taqtaqat bihim al-bighal aw hamlajat bihim al-baradhin fa inna dhull al-ma'siyati la yufariqu qulubahum. أبى الله إلا أن يذل من عصاه. أبى الله إلا أن يذل من عصاه. والله وإن طقطقت بهم البغال. طق طق طق. You know. The mule in its elegant, you know, the mule of the qadi, not just any mule, the way it walks. طق 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 on a, of course, the الطريق معبدة لها. You know, the road for that qadi and for that mule has been paved properly, so there is tuk, 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 you know, an elegant, light walk of a mule. Tuk, tukat. Wallahi, even if the mules tuk, tuk, you know, carry them with elegance. وَإِنْ هَمْلَجَتْ بِهِمُ الْبَرَاذِينَ. Al-birdhawn is another name for the horse in the Arabic language. You know, this hamlajat bihim al-baradhin, hamlaj al-birdhawn or al-faras or al-hasan is again when it has this aristocratic, elegant walk and run. Have you seen those beautiful Arabian horses and the way they walk and the way they look? So he said, wallahi, even if, in other words, elegant horses carry them elegantly, or elegant mules carry them elegantly, which is an external indication of power, of exaltation, of honor, of dignity, he says, wallahi, even if it is so, the humiliation of sin never leaves their hearts. For Allah decreed that he who or she who disobeys him will be humiliated. أَبَى اللَّهُ إِلَّا أَنْ يُذِلَّ مَنْ عَصَاهُ. And therefore, if I am humiliated as a human being in so many ways that can happen to me, again, the seeker of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the seeker of the greatest of all knowledge, the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the seeker of greatest of all peace, the peace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the seeker of greatest of all happiness, to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his solace and company, when befallen by such a trial or an affliction, he or she asks the question, what have I done? What have I done in my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pertaining to the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pertaining to the rights of the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because a dhanb, in a technical sense, is a violation of one or both of these rights. The right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the right of the creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's a dhanb. That's a ma'asiyah. A word I have said, an action I have made, a feeling I have harbored and enjoyed and entertained, all of which were sinful. That has consequences, my dear brothers and sisters. The dhunub's consequences in this context is fear and insecurity. Fear and insecurity. Ajib. Subhanallah. Man khaf Allah, خوف الله منه كل شيء ومن لم يخف الله خوفه الله من كل شيء هكذا كانوا يقولون رحمه الله تعالى. من خاف الله, he who fears Allah, and that is obeys Allah, therefore Allah will make everything else fear him or her. And he who or she who does not fear Allah, Allah makes him or her fear everything else. Wallahi, it is true. Again, inside. It's inside that counts. It is obvious in the divine logic, since everything in the universe, material and immaterial, hearts and minds, power and wealth, all of that belongs to the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ant, the leaf, the jinn, the malaika, all of them belong to whom? To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And basically, if we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we don't fear Him, all of that belongs to Him. Some of those are unleashed naturally against those of us who don't fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Example, I mean the ant and the bee, and the lion and the dog, all of those are creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran teaches us that in their own way, what are they doing? They are in dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are in ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The atoms are in ibadah and in dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, aren't they? Now, if I as a human being choose to live in disharmony with them, by not being in dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, and disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal is being not in dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, but in dhikr of shaitan and dhikr of nafs, then these forces and these beings in the universe that are in remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that are in obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I create a turbulence amongst them. True or false? Isn't it true? because they are in the natural order of dhikr and of ta'ah. I come with my disobedience, with my lack of dhikr, and I create a turbulence in that world that I can't see with my eyes. I create that turbulence, and they respond to me. They harm me in one way or the other. That's why a sin, my dear brothers and sisters, is not just, we can look at it as a localized action. But there's no localized action in this universe. This universe is a web connected in every way. A masiyah here, like a web of a spider, is detected all the way over there. Is a turbulence, is a destructive interference in the spiritual order of the universe. And then the world responds to me that way. And part of that response is fear instilled in my heart. Fear instilled in my heart. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Kun kayfa ma shi'at." كن كيف ما شئت فإن الله لك كما تكون أنت له ولعباده. سبحان الله. Be as you want to be. Be as you want to be. In other words, do what you want to do. Be what you want to be. Be as you want to be. فإن الله لك, for verily Allah will be to you, in response, will be to you the way you choose to be, you are to him and to his creatures. And this is what? This reflective system and reality, that the world, the environment, the universe, the forces of the universe that are in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, respond to me the way I am. Isn't it beautiful? This hadith, that's how powerful and that's how deep it is. It says, therefore, that the world is to me the way I am with the world. كُنْ كَيْفَ مَا شِئْتْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَكَ كَمَا تَكُونُ أَنْتَ لَهُ وَلِعِبَادِهِ. And the forces of the universe in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be unleashed depending on how I behave and conduct myself and feel towards the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the universe. Fear or otherwise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, الذين آمنوا ولم يلبسوا إيمانهم بظلم أولئك لهم الأمن أولئك لهم الأمن وهم مهتدون. سبحان الله. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who have iman, note, condition number one, those who have iman, condition number two, ولم يلبسوا إيمانهم بظلم, and did not contaminate their iman with zulm, with injustice. I shall come to that in a moment. Ulaika lahum, emphasis, ulaik, those verily have security. Amn. And those will be guided. Amn, security. I think almost everyone here, if not everyone here, subhanAllah, are of age to have already experienced, or at least begun to experience, what it really means inside to be insecure. Not externally, but what degenerates inside of bursts that we call insecurity. And oftentimes when we are insecure, we look for the rectification of that state at everything else. The material means of wealth and power. And we look for security that way. Wallahi alladhi la ilaha illahu. Wallahi alladhi la ilaha illahu. There is no amn with that. There is, you know, what that does is just like patching, temporary mending, patching, coloring something to hide the true color of it, but does not remove it. Because security or the lack of security is a state of your qalb, is a state of your heart, is a state of your innermost being. You can have all the wealth and the power of the world and you will live insecure. You can have all the friends of the world. You can have all the means and you will live insecure inside. At different levels, of course. Unless and until, as says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنِ. Amn for those is guaranteed. Their heart will be in amn. And he says, those who have iman and have not blemished or contaminated their iman with ظُلْم. And what is ظُلْم here? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, ظُلْم is injustice, is oppression, is aggression. But here says Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, commenting on this ayah, he says, al-dhulm is ash-shirku billah. And ash-shirk is the worst of sins. Ash-shirku billah. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says elsewhere in the Quran, inna ash-shirka la dhulmun azim. For verily, shirk is a great or a momentous act of dhulm, of injustice, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are levels of shirk, as many of you brothers and sisters know, and we should know. There are many levels of shirk. Of course, there is shirk in ubudiyya, there is shirk in rububiyya, there is shirk in asma' al-sifat. There is shirk as a form of riya'. There is shirk in loving others as we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or more. There is shirk in fearing others as we fear Allah or more. There is shirk as we have hope in others as we have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is shirk as we do the things, the good things and the devout thing or the devotional things for the sake of self-aggrandizement. That's shirk. And so on and so forth. There are different levels of shirk. And each one of those is an act of masiyah, is an act of sinfulness, which will lead also to external acts of masiyah. So as long as that is in there, there is lack of amn. And let me say a little more about this, because it pertains to the concept of tawheed also. The source of any distress, see, the source, the essence of these ailments of distress and of anxiety and the like, the source of it is in our hearts, because it is a state of a heart. Number two, it is due to many attachments we have in our hearts for many other things, created things. Such that when those attachments become numerous, or some of those attachments are severed, then the individual feels no attachment. Like when you are holding to a rope, the only rope you're holding to in the air, and then someone cuts the rope. And then you fall. That fall, and have you ever, you know, fallen by surprise and what it feels inside? That's the feeling. That's insecurity. That's anxiety. because you have nothing to hold on to. كَأَنَّمَا خَرَّ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَتَخْطَفُهُ الطَّيْرُ أَوْ تَهْوِي بِهِ الرِّيحُ فِي مَكَانٍ سَحِيقٍ, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, above the one who commits shirk. وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَكَأَنَّمَا خَرَّ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَتَخْطَفُهُ الطَّيْرُ أَوْ تَهْوِي بِهِ الرِّيحُ فِي مَكَانٍ سَحِيقٍ. But the person who commits shirk against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like a person who is falling freely. Falling freely meaning there is nothing to hold on to. You had something you were holding to. It was other than Allah because it was shirk. And then it is severed anyways, because it's an imaginary link. It's not a real link. Or when it is temporarily, physically not there, then you feel your heart has no attachment to anything else, because it was not truly attached to Allah. Correct? And that's why we feel what we feel. Had my heart been attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that rope will ever be there, no matter how many times all other ropes are severed. I will never fall. I will never have that feeling. That's why those of us who rely on our wealth, on our power, on our intelligence — I'm not saying that one should not rely at all on intelligence, or should not rather use intelligence. I'm saying relying, your qalb attaches itself to it. It becomes God itself. You don't say it is God. I don't say it is God. But I truly put all my trust on it. You know that imperative of material causality. I have learned and been trained such that I do, I get. There must be the means. And if the means are, the results will be. That attitude is shirk. Not that we don't go by the means, but that my heart is attached to the means and not to the creator of the means, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when I am dispossessed of that, or when it fails me, I fall into shock and anxiety and insecurity. Why? Because I had committed shirk. Because I had more than one in my heart. I had more than one in my heart. I had more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in my heart. I had all these other things. And that's shirk. If my heart were truly free from all of these attachments, and they were only external attachments, not internal ones, then that would not happen to me. I who is speaking to you, and perhaps some others, had I not had those attachments, I would not be suffering, I would not have suffered from that distress, or that anxiety, or that gham, or that ham, and so on. And lack of tawheed is the root cause of any form of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus, dhunub generate anxieties and insecurities. And wajal, gham, khawf. And wallahi al-azim, this is true. This is true. Some do not observe it because we're not spiritually sensitive. Some do not observe it because they have not watched themselves as they are tested and tried in different ways by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise you would see that relationship, my dear brothers and sisters. Dhunub have spiritual consequences of a different sort also. Namely, subhanAllah, the more we commit dhunub and we do not repent properly from them, the more we shall have a taste for dhunub, the more we shall commit more dhunub. Commission of dhunub has a cumulative effect, in other words. Subhanallah. And obviously because it strengthens the nafs and it weakens the qalb. If it weakens the qalb, that means we will be less ready to commit that which is good, and more ready to commit that which is wrong and harmful and evil and unjust and unfair and immoral, because the nafs is stronger and the qalb is weaker. Because the more we commit dhunub, it's like that other parable I gave, the more we go downhill. Because committing dhunub is indulging the nafs. Indulging the nafs is going downhill with the nafs. Going with the nafs. And the further downhill we go, the more difficult it is going to be to climb back up. So the more dhunub we commit, the more dhunub we commit. It will strengthen the nafs and weaken the qalb. Of the consequences of dhunub, my dear brothers and sisters, as a punishment sometimes of dhunub, is subhanAllah to continue to remain unaware that we are in a state of dhunub. Sometimes they say, "Min jaza'i al-ma'asiyati, or min jaza'i al-sayyi'ati, sayyi'atun mithluha, or min jaza'i al-hasanati, hasanatun mithluha, or min jaza'i al-sayyi'ati, an la ya'lam al-insanu annahu asa'a." Yes, of the consequences of hasana, of a righteous act, is subhanAllah, is the commission of another righteous act. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards sometimes individuals when they do good by subhanAllah giving them more energy to do more good. That's a reward in itself, subhanAllah. And similarly, the person who commits a ma'asiyah is punished by being de-energized in the positive sense and energized in the negative sense to commit more ma'asiyah. But also to forget that one has committed ma'asiyah. Or not to know that one has committed ma'asiyah. Sometimes. And here, again, Al-Imam Ibn al-Jawzi in one of his other works relates this very interesting story that I pray that you also don't forget it as I have not forgotten it for years. It's one of the most powerful, subhanAllah, you know, stories, because it's not something tangible. You see, it's not physical. It's spiritual. Very, very powerful. He says, rahmanAllah ta'ala, in the story, that in the early people of Bani Israel, among the early Muslims of the children of Israel, there was this devout man living in obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his own uzla, complete retreat, complete uzla from people, and obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, living in ibadah. And one day, in his khalwa, in his munajah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a moment of solitary retreat and prayer with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, "Ya Rabbi, kam a'asika wa la tu'azibuni." Oh dear Lord, how often I disobey you and yet you punish me not. An answer came back to him in those days at his level somehow, in a vision, voice, something. Says to him, "Ya Abdi, kam u'azibuka wa la tadri." Oh, my servant, how often I punish you, yet you remain unaware. أَلَيْسَ قَدْ حَرَمْتُكَ حَلَاوَةَ مُنَاجَاتِ. Now this is for some ibad. This is very, very painful. At his level, it must have been very, very, very painful. أَلَيْسَ قَدْ حَرَمْتُكَ حَلَاوَةَ مُنَاجَاتِ. أَلَيْسَ قَدْ حَرَمْتُكَ حَلَاوَةَ مُنَاجَاتِ. O my servant, haven't I deprived you of the sweetness of solitary moments in retreat with me? What is that sweetness? It's not what are the moments. Sweetness of those moments. What is the sweetness in your heart? You didn't notice that you lost it, huh? You didn't notice that you don't have it. You used to have it. This is what it is telling him. You used to have it. You don't have it anymore, because he says it's a punishment. أَلَيْسَ قَدْ حَرَمْتُكَ حَلَاوَةَ مُنَاجَاتِ. This is, and he was in munajah at that moment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there was no halawa. And this is a man who devoted his life for that. That's what he wanted. And yet, he's not getting it. Or he used to get it, and now he's deprived of it. That's punishment. At his level, of course. Dhunub, my dear brothers and sisters, as I said earlier, through the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are are rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in accordance to the way we are. Dhunub are a violation of the order of balance in the universe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when there is that turbulence, then there are waves, shock waves that come back to us for that. No doubt about it. As we are, so shall the world be to us. As we behave, so shall the world behave with us. As we are inside of our qulub, so shall waves from the hearts of man also come to us, my dear brothers and sisters. And with ta'a of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make those waves towards us gentle waves. Will make the world towards us a gentler world. And sometimes, yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes globally, and we shall talk about that in a moment. And when there is a global punishment or a generalized punishment, sometimes even the good people are taken through that punishment. But those good people know that the ultimate objective is not in this world. The ultimate objective, even if it were in this world, is the heart being with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes them to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, where they are going to be now in His company in every sense of the word, and takes them away from this dunya, oh, not only they don't mind, but that's their most fervent desire always. You know, ibad al-mu'minun, those who have true iman, mashallah, and he would say, if at this moment, Allah, if I know that I would be in the company of Allah if He takes me, please, Ya Allah, take me now. Wouldn't you? I would. Allah knows. I'm weak. I would. If I knew now that Allah is pleased with me, please take me. Take me. Who was he? I'm going to close with this. It's 11:30 for now. I forgot his name. He was a European or an American adventurer, one of the terrible things he did, but maybe it turned out to be for some benefit, is he disguised himself as a Muslim and entered into the haram. What was his name?
Richard Burton.
Richard Burton, and disguised himself as a Muslim and entered into Mecca and into the haram and experienced the Hajj and so on and so forth. And in accordance to this report that was told to me by a person who read some of his works, I did not read it personally, so that I mention the proper sanad, I did not read it personally. But he said, subhanAllah, that one of the most powerful experiences he had. He said, while he was in front of the Kaaba one day, there was this African man who sat in front of the Kaaba, kneeled, and was weeping. And he said, and he was translated, "Oh God, take me now, now, now." Now this is not a call of distress. Many will think this is a call of joy. You know, arriving in front of the Kaaba, what it means to a heart that is filled with iman. Arriving in front of the Kaaba is arriving in front of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. House of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Arriving at the door of the Kaaba is, for such a person, the heart has arrived at the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the experience, by the way, Hajj is La ilaha illallah. The ultimate experience for the conscious mu'min. So he was more, and for me, that's what it meant. He was there, his body was in front of the house, the physical house of Allah, and his heart was in front of the gate, spiritual of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, "God, open the door for me now. Let me go." And who wouldn't? Who wouldn't who had iman like that? In other words, I was saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes unleashes His punishment against a generalized group or so. It doesn't mean that good people won't go. And I'm speaking here about innocent people and an act of God. An act of God. An earthquake or something like that. Then even if good people die, that doesn't mean it's misery. You all know. The mu'min awaits when to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the stronger that iman, the more urgent the encounter is to be. The more we have hub for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more we want the ultimate encounter with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, true or false. Especially those who experience in this dunya with their heart some nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and experience it in bursts. Those begin to have this strong burst of ultimate encounter with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and wait to go. My dear brothers and sisters, أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم إن قلت صوابا فمن الله وحده وإن قلت غير ذلك فمن نفسي ومن جهلي ومن الشيطان أعوذ بالله أن أذكر به وأنساه.